Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting Africa, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. And it is Saturday evening, October 10th, 2015, at 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America. I welcome everyone to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And I would also like to give an especially warm welcome to Sri Kadavji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master, who is the leader of this very ancient teaching. How are you this evening, Sri Kadavji?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. And it's always a pleasure to do this show. We've been doing the show, as you know, because you've been participating every week. We've been doing this show for several years now, so we have hundreds of shows in the archives. And even though we go over some of the same basic information, Sri Kadavji is always adding some different elements to the evening, different aspects of the very ancient teaching of Akita. And I wonder, if you might this evening talk a little bit about the history. How did this teaching Akita begin?
Well, I'd really like to mention something firstly before that, because each week we do get a kernel of wisdom, and where that comes from is being the direct channel for the Akshar, not as the Savior, the Messiah, and all that nonsense, but it's the living Sarosha Master carries what is known as the rod of the Sarosha power. And Sarosha is the original word for spirit. And that teacher is unique in history, albeit he always exists. But there's a lineage, and that really is the beginning of Akita, because it's the teaching of the living Sarosha Master, whether he's public or not. Sometimes he's not public, but he does exist physically always when there's the lower worlds of manifestation. So that's really the history. The history of this master always exists and is the energy, the central energy for the Supreme Deity, and that's why we can give out this wisdom each week, because of being some, as a, for want of a better word, sort of tapped into it, I'll say. And that's why, if you listen to many of the shows, there always seems to be a new, unique piece of wisdom that comes from that arena, I'll say, in terms of the center of the Supreme Deity, what is known as God, or we use the definition of the acronym Glimpse of the Divine. In other words, I think Akita is the only one that really even mentions that history of that word. I don't think you can go anywhere and get that a bit of wisdom too that we presented several years ago also on the show. And I think we've been doing this show since 2007, something like that. So we're getting on nearly 9 years. So we have many hundreds of shows on the archives, as you said. So there's a lot of information that I think people really appreciate. Now, having said all that, we do each week attempt to do the basic fundamentals of the path of Akita, and the short definition that we use is the ancient science of Sahaji. So in that phrase, the English phrase, we see the word Sahaji, also with the main subject of Akita. Both of those terms would be considered foreign to the Englishman or the American or those that use the language of English. Then you would see these two words that would appear to be not English, and they really are not. They are really known as Higher Sanskrit, or a sacred language, which is Akita, sacerdotal, or sacred language. And that's the language of the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament, and also the monolith in 2001, and there's a lot of distinctions, the center of the hub of the wheel, these sorts of things. And all these things make a sound. Even the middle of a wheel will make a whirring sound, or like a spinning sound. And the sound current that we hear with it is the motion of spirit in the spiral making that sound. It's a spinning sound, sort of a friction in the universe, if you will, for want of a better word, because it causes a heat and in a noise at the same time. So there is a physics, actually, in terms of the science also. Well, there's a bit of wisdom that we haven't discussed before as well. So we did that. We editorialized it and also did it afterwards. So we have it all. We really do. So go ahead. Let's see what you're going to say.
Yeah, and that's the nice thing about the teaching is because the wisdom, the enlightenment, the unfoldment is really unlimited on the path, and that's what's really beautiful about it. And there are, we have probably about a couple of thousand people on the path at this point, and there are different people. There are people that are spiritual masters, but even those that are spiritual masters are continuing their unfoldment. So it's an ever ending process, and I might like to say that it's also a most enjoyable one, because it does bring a lot of joy and wisdom into our lives, and it answers questions for us
we have a God World chart in the introductory book that's free online. All the materials and membership are all free at ACATSA. There's no charge for anything. So in the back of the book, there's a graphic illustration of 10 planes. But we also mentioned, and it's also mentioned in the book, that that's not the end of it. That's not the end all of all the universes. As you said a minute ago, it never ends. So there's actually hundreds of planes, and even the New Age teachings talk about multi-dimensions, and I agree with that. However, what we do in ACATSA, and it's an old mapping of the lower worlds that's been around for millions of years, is sort of a central categorization of these four lower planes that need to be negotiated out of to gain spiritual liberation. And that's very important. And the main responsibility, or the modus operandi of ACATSA, is to give the ready soul the spiritual key to get out of the lower worlds. And those lower worlds are the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes, the four lower planes that are sheathed around spirit in the lower worlds. We have a physical body, but we also have these sheathed dimensions around us that are definite places, and very vast places as well, because in other religions and other teachings, they talk about when the spirit passes from the physical plane, that they may be going into some other dimension, and they don't only say dimension necessarily, sometimes I suppose, but then a lot of religions talk about going to heaven. All right, nice idea, but they're not getting to the true heaven of the fifth plane. And that's where ACATSA comes in and explains to the ready soul that true liberation is in the fifth dimension, four planes above the physical plane. And that means that, all right, there's a vast area that needs to get through. And hence we talk about Sahaji, which is the out-of-body experience, soul movement, soul movement, soul travel, they call it in some teachings. We call it Sahaji. And so this movement, this physical motion, is necessary to pass through these lower planes. In other words, you just don't sit in meditation and everything comes to you. See, that's a huge mistake. That's why we don't meditate in ACATSA. We contemplate. We contemplate daily for 30 minutes. And in so doing, we're attempting to negotiate these lower planes moving into the fifth plane. So there's work that's to be done on the inner worlds of traveling to the soul plane. And that's the crux of ACATSA, is myself as a guide, people through these lower arenas. Otherwise, if somebody's on another path, they're going to pass from this earth, this mortal shell, and they're going to most likely go to the astral plane. Okay, some places are really nice on the astral plane, and they last thousands of years sometimes, but you're going to have to come back in reincarnation, and because there's no liberation in the astral plane. And then therefore we can also talk the next plane up from that is the causal plane, which is the third plane. There's no liberation in that area too. But if, when you do the measurement of the physical plane, and it's vast in terms of star systems and planets and all these things, then you have to realize that each one of the planes above are exponentially larger. It's, so therefore, it's just not passing from the physical plane and then you're in heaven. Okay? Nice idea, but how all of a sudden are you going to pass from this plane and know where to go? I mean, really, I mean, Leslie, isn't that true? Like, the other teachings, you studied them all too, they give you no locations whatsoever. They just say, we're going to pass from the physical plane and we're in heaven, right? Oh, okay, nice idea. Where are you? You understand? I mean, you know what I mean by that. It's so odd.
I know, because there's a generalistic comment that we're going to heaven and nobody really knows where heaven is. So they just think of this, they think of it maybe as a cloudy sky, that the blue sky with white clouds in it. They think of that as being heaven. Nobody really has an idea of what the planets are. People do have out-of-body experiences, but they don't know how to relate that to where they're going.
And that's why they're frustrated in the other teachings, because the teachings weren't really built to give spiritual liberation. They were there to do moral codes and social behaviors, control, and also fleece the flock of all their labors and get a percentage of the money. So it's all economics. It's not really about spiritual liberation. It never was. ACTA is about spiritual liberation. It's the only path that gives spiritual liberation, because that's what it's supposed to do. The rest of them are for social order. Isn't that amazing? That's good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, they're teachings. The religious paths are for morality. They're not really for spiritual unfoldment.
No, and they don't teach spiritual unfoldment because they don't have the information. See, they all say, okay, somebody will die and go to heaven, but really what they're saying, they're going to heaven, they're going to go to a spiritual master on the astral plane, have an opportunity, they may fail, they may stay with Gopal Das, who's the guardian of the Temple of Golden Wisdom on the astral plane, or they may just go away and become reincarnated again. So the opportunity is to get with the masters on the inner, and then when you come back to the physical, you may get to the high path. See, so these things are specific. That's why our information is vast. At the same time, there is a simplicity that we teach each week, because we know there's lower planes. We teach the sound current. Everybody can hear the sound current if they go to a quiet place, or some people hear it all the time, but they haven't had it defined in their life, because the teachers don't talk about what the sound current is, because, again, it's not their responsibility to do that. It's our responsibility to teach that for the 1 in 100. The other 99 are just passing through. Our teaching is for 1% of the population. If a person listening tonight is a ready soul, and what we say is not a riddle, then you would take the introductory book, read it for a while, cogitate on it, do a daily contemplation for a while, and then if that appeals to you, you may accept membership if you want. You apply online at our ACTA.com, our website. Therefore, it's ironically a rush, but not a rush. In other words, there's an opportunity in this lifetime to gain spiritual liberation. If you don't do it, you just come back. And as you've said, and I've been a little more benevolent with it, then you've been a little harder about that, because you say they don't necessarily have it each lifetime. My opinion is I've kind of backed off it a little bit. They may not have an opportunity every single lifetime to get back to the path. Or I've said in the past that they seemingly get an opportunity and then they turn away and then they don't accept it. So they continue the reincarnation cycle, which is horrendous.
But they don't
recognize it.
They don't. Many people don't recognize the opportunity, and they don't realize how rare it is to get that opportunity.
Right.
So
that may not
come around for a while.
Right. So would you want to take us, we were talking about contemplation and a huge chant. Leslie usually takes us to a huge chant, which is really nice and contemplative and very calming for the rat race that we live in the world today. So if you'd like to take us through a contemplation, that would be a lot of fun. Would you like to do that for us?
Sure, I'd love to. You know how much I enjoy doing that. So, yeah, basically the contemplation technique, when we do it at home, it's going to take, we should be spending 30 minutes doing that, which will cover us with spiritual protection for a 24-hour period, and that's why it's important to do this on a daily basis. So when we do this, it looks, when somebody's sitting in contemplation, it looks like they're meditation. They're in meditation, but the difference is that contemplation is really more of an active state, because there's many different experiences that you can have, whereas meditation, from what I know and what I've experienced, and it's more of trying to empty out everything, and it's a mental focus versus being a focus on soul, which is a higher level in the spiritual world. So what we're going to doing is getting ourselves comfortable with our legs crossed in Indian fashion, or with them flat on the floor, whatever feels comfortable to you. In a quiet place, earplugs if you need to do that. And right now I can hear a high school band right outside of my window. I guess they're having a football game. I can hear the drums. So this would not be the opportune time for me to do a 30-minute contemplation in this area. So if I were going to do one, I'd move to another part of my house where it was quieter to do that. So just to mention that, to be aware of those things, because sound is very important, and sound can be a great disruptant. So try to be in as quiet place as you can. Take a couple of deep breaths slowly, just to relax yourself, and close your eyes, and put your attention on what's called the third eye, or the Tisra's Hill, that spot between the eyebrows that's just above the bridge of the nose, which is a higher chakra. So we're putting our attention there gently. We don't force anything. We want everything to move along in a flowing fashion. And what we do is chant the word Hill, which is the word that each plane has a word that's associated with it. Q is associated with the 10th plane, where spiritual mastery takes place. And Hu is also another name of God. So we use the word Hu, spelled H-U, and it sounds like this. And then we can be quiet. We can chant longer if we like, whatever is comfortable for you, whatever feels right. And you can also be quiet for the majority of the contemplation if you like. You might see a white light, which is the light of Svarosha, of spirit. You might see a blue light, which is the inner light of the Mahaji, of Sri Kadavji, and that means he's there beside you, and you can ask him to guide you. And you can also have an out-of-body experience where you can go to a temple of golden wisdom on one of the inner planes and sit in satsang and have a discussion with other members of Akata, with other with spiritual masters. There's many different types of experiences, and you may hear a high-pitched electrical sound, and this is the sound of spirit, of Svarosha. It's very important to listen to that, and it can come through in different ways, but most commonly it comes through to people as a high-pitched electrical sound, and that's good to tune into, because that's very balancing. And that means you're directly being a channel for spirit. So it's very important to be able to focus on that. And we actually want to listen to that inner sound as much as possible. If you can do it 24/7, that's the most magnificent thing to do. And so at the end of the contemplation, it takes 30 minutes. You can just come out of it gently with a couple of deep breaths and end it with, we say Baraka Bashad, which means may the blessings be. Sri Kadaji, is there anything you'd like to add to what I just described?
Well, I think that was greatly appreciated by everyone. It's always very nice to do the huge chant, and people can realize it's very calming and quieting. And that's why it has a similarity to meditation. However, like you said before, meditation is really coming off the fourth plane, and it becomes the attempt to quiet the mind. In other words, they had years ago, and I think they still have it. In fact, I'm certain they do, the transcendental meditation. I think Jerry Seinfeld is a big proponent of the TM people. And I did TM when I was very young, in my late teens and what have you, transcendental meditation. But the whole idea, my teacher, Paul Twitchell, was saying that TM is really like a mind exercise, and you really can't quiet the mind because it wants to jump around like a monkey, he would say. And therefore, the whole idea with the mind issue is that you need to learn to see it in soul and allow the mind to create its imagery and pictures and more or less observe the mind in contemplation. In other words, let it do what it needs to do, but you're looking at it at like a distant star, quite literally, in terms of the light. The light of the starlight is really the light of the soul. And that light is the sound seen, and the sound is the light heard. So therefore, when we see from soul, we see into the lower worlds and all the stuff and the imagery that's in those lower planes. We observe it from afar and can participate if necessary. So this whole idea of the movement to the soul plane is really to become the true self in the sound current. It's rather simple, to be honest, because when one listens to the sound current, and there's a beauty in the simplicity of it, they're really dwelling in the fifth plane. However, because the attention has been in the lower worlds for so many lifetimes, it becomes very difficult to maintain the visual of becoming the sound. So therefore, we're listening to the sound, but how does one listen? I remember when I was a young school student many years ago, and the teacher would say, well, you need to listen. And I think to myself, well, how do you listen? And they don't explain that. See, well, you listen with your ears, right? But what is that? See, so then I learned that the anomaly of the whole thing is that we have twin senses for eternity. We have sight and sound. Those are the two senses that parallel with light and sound that we have eternally. So therefore, in terms of listening, we have to see to listen, and we have to listen to see. In other words, when we're listening, we have to use a sense to do it. And so if you're listening, then you have what is left. You have sight. And when you're seeing, what you have left is sound. And therefore, it's a great paradox and really wonderful to contemplate. It's a great contemplation seed in terms of those two skills. And therefore, we teach the twin senses for eternity and not the five senses of the physical plane. However, that's even limited in terms of the 10 senses of the sentient being in the physical life. And that can be left for another time. However, this, as I said before, the simplicity to listen to that high electrical pitch, that sound current we call the sferocia, is vital in someone's life. And ecstatic, too. The ready soul, when they hear this for the first time, when they hear about the sound current, falls in a state of ecstasy and bliss, and it's a wonderment. When I first realized it when I was in my youth, the sound current was really exceptional. It was just incredible. Words can't express how wonderful that was to learn of the sound current. I might be getting some feedback there. Or did you want to say something there, Leslie, or is that?
I would like to say this, and this is a little bit of a different subject of and not talking about the sound current. But I would like to mention to people that October 22nd is the spiritual new year. And it's a very important date for us. And as well, it also happens to be the birthday of the 971st spiritual Sferocia Master, who is Sri Paul Twitchell. And so we are having a, a very special evening set aside for this, and on October 20th, 2 days before, and that's going to be at 6:30 at the Philadelphia Central Library at 1901 Vine Street in Philadelphia. And Sri Kanafji will be there to speak to everyone, and he'll talk a little bit about Paulji, as we call him affectionately, who is no longer with us. Paulji passed in 1971, and he was Sri Kanafji's mentor. So he's very, very close, actually, to both of us. So, and then we'll be talking a little bit about the spiritual new year and the significance of that. So it's free, just as everything that we do is free. Please feel free to join us Tuesday, October 20th, 6:30 p.m. at the Philadelphia Central Library, 1901 Vine Street in Philadelphia. And I did want to mention that. We still have around 4 minutes left, Sri Kanafji. I apologize for interrupting your float because you were talking about the sound print.
Oh, yeah, that's a real special point because it's something near and dear to people and also simple. It's not a complex issue. You don't have to have a university education to listen to the sound current. Plus, at the same time, it's not being a simpleton at all because it would have many, many university degrees just by listening to the sound or seeing the light. So, therefore, it is an element of very high intelligence and then beyond it in terms of the wisdom pool of the Akshar. So, therefore, we tap that wisdom pool by getting above the lower planes in soul and traveling into higher realms that never end. And that's the important aspect of Akashic that no other teaching has. That's why we call it the path, the only path, and the most direct path to the God worlds, much to the chagrin of other teachings. But that's all right, because the condemnation can be there, but they're just cleaning out the dirt off the vestibule of the Temple of Golden Wisdom, cleaning off the front porch, if you will, because it just all reverts back to the dirt that they shovel in the lower worlds. See, we don't do that, because it's pure light and sound above that. So this whole element of persecution is like a mirror. They persecute themselves. And we look on and just say, well, that's all right. Not to say one can't defend themselves, but it goes to a point with that in terms of ourselves being the creator. And we realize that when we travel in Sahaji, when one becomes the God-realized soul in the eighth plane, and then getting to the ninth plane, everyone realizes they're the creator. And so that's a fascinating experience that one can achieve in the right above the second goal of God realization in Akshat. The first goal is the fifth plane of self-realization. We talked a lot about the fifth plane this evening. The third goal, the third major goal, is Sarosha Mastery, which is the final goal, but not the final growth pattern in terms of dimensionality we said earlier. But we have Sarosha Mastery in the tenth plane. And that tenth plane is a place where one is firmly fixed and their karma is completely resolved. Whereas in the first 2 years, we didn't really talk about karma and reincarnation very much. We'll try to get some time here quickly. What are we down to, about two or three minutes left?
No, we've got about a minute left.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we can save the karma and reincarnation for next week, just to know that we do believe in it, but we do transcend it on the path of action to Dharma. Maybe that'll take care of that for the moment.
Right, and to get more information on that, please go to the website and download the free introductory book, which talks extensively about that the patterns of karma and reincarnation, and how we can avoid, how we can sidestep that cycle, that we're not trapped into it. Thank you, everyone, for being with us this evening. It was a great pleasure to have you with us. We look forward to speaking to you next time. I'm not sure that we'll be here next week, but we will be here the week after that. And Sri Kanafji, as always, it's been wonderful hearing you speak and enjoy every one of these shows that we do. I was trying to find a better word for that, so I apologize. But I want to thank you and give you an opportunity to say good night.
I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka Bishad.